Time to run.
The Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway, 13.1 edition.
Welcome to episode 3.7 of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. How is everyone? Could probably tell I'm out for a walk today. I had a long run yesterday, so I still plan on getting out for just a very short and slow kind of stretch out run later, but right now it feels good just to take a little brisk walk around the neighborhood on this gorgeous sunny day, not a cloud in the sky. Maybe 56 when I left the house, something like that. So listen, you know what? We kicked this thing off way back in mid-February of 2016. And now we're just a few short weeks away from our big day. So here's our hope. We hope that you did your homework, you picked your race, you put together your run, walk, run plan, or let Chris do it for you with a Galloway customized training program. Added Jeff's advice as we went along, and now you're pretty much ready for the big day. I think that I'm pretty much ready. My training's been going pretty well. I'm still a tad shy on my long runs. I'm within a mile of my race distance, so you know, I'm to the point that I'm quite certain that if I had to run the half marathon tomorrow, I could finish. I might not just feel as well as I want to feel. So, got some more time. So listen, in this episode, as always, we're going to catch up with Mr. Galloway. We're going to dig into some more run, walk, run details. Specifically, I'm interested in the magic mile that we're all getting ready to do any day now as we approach the end of our training, and specifically how we should, number one, run that one, and number two, what we should do with the data. You know, what if it's not quite as fast? What if we don't have that expected improvement? Or even if we do, now we've got, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 magic miles during our training cycle. What do we do with all that? Because this, no doubt, is most likely your last magic mile you're going to do in your training. So we'll dig into that. And we're also going to hit another rather appropriate topic, since we're all doing the long runs that are pretty much getting close to or getting beyond the race distance, and that is one of nutrition. And then we'll finish up the episode by discussing some Christmas gadgets for different runners. And we'll also hit on a couple questions from some extra milers. And then we will end our conversation with Mr. Galloway with some Jeff Galloway 13.1 talk. So I would ask that you stick around all the way to the end of the show, because if you're one of those extra milers that's planning on or still considering joining us down in Atlanta in just a few short weeks, we'll go over some of the details of what's going on relative to this podcast for that event, that weekend. So stick around. I'll get back to my walk here. We'll chat again at the end of the show, and y'all enjoy your extra mile. Okay, we're back over to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway Edition Hotline, where we have caught up once again with Mr. Jeff Galloway. Hi, Jeff. How are we doing today?
Kevin, I'm doing great. I just finished a run, so the brain circuits are just turned on.
Where did we catch you today? You back home?
Just got in last night from the Avengers Superheroes Half Marathon Weekend at Disneyland.
You've been very, very busy travel-wise since we spoke last. Let's get into that just a little bit. I know, let's go back a little bit and talk about one marathon that I know is near and dear to your heart, the Marine Corps Marathon that was held in late October. How did that one go this year?
That was, it is always a highlight of my marathon year. My father was in the Navy. I was in the Navy. I totally respect the discipline and the focus of the Marines and their organization. And I've done a number of clinics around the world for the Marines. Group of people that run that marathon, including Rick Nealis, who had to go through he's gone through more challenges than any race director I know. I mean, they had a sniper one year. They had shutdowns several years due to strikes, and they found ways of getting police and workers out there. They had 9/11 when the Pentagon was still smoldering while we ran by it. And then this year it was the Metro. Their rapid rail system changed the schedule so that they would not come in. They would not start it so that a lot of people would not be able to make the original starting time. So they moved the starting time, extended it so that people could come in. But it was a glorious event. The weather mostly cooperated. It got hot at the end. And with a tailwind the last 4 miles, it was pretty warm for a lot of folks, but by that point, they had either made the cut or not. So
right.
There were a lot of people walking, and that's what they should have done. When it's that hot, you simply don't want to overheat, and walking is the way that you avoid that. But it was glorious, and crossing that finish line with all the Marines there saluting and going through the exuberance that people have right by the Iwo Jima Monument. I love it.
Nothing's going to stop the Marines. Is that right?
That's correct.
Well, actually the following weekend, you headed down to Orlando for the Wine and Dine. How did that one go this year?
Well, the Wine and Dine has always been my favorite event in the Disney series. And, you know, it's just narrowly ahead of the others. But I've always really enjoyed running through the night. And this year they changed it so that we started in early in the morning like the other events. Didn't know how, you know, I was going to like it. I loved it. You know, the first part of the race, almost half, it's either in the dark or in the very, very, very early pre-dawn hours. And it was just very comfortable for that portion. Later on, the temperature rose, but by that point, most people were only within the last 3 to 4 miles, so it really wasn't that bad. But Disney is just amazing. They spoil you because of all the characters out there, displays. They had video displays, new video displays that I had not seen before. They had a lot of interactive individual groups out there with costumes on, and then the spectators support those Disney events like you wouldn't believe at the finish. They pull you in. Anyway, the reward was the Food and Wine Festival was going on. They had about 30 different ethnic booths around Epcot Lake. So you finish and then you're rewarded by going around and just sampling some of the great food from around the world.
Nice. I get the sense that you wouldn't necessarily recommend you run any of these Disney races for a time and just get out there and enjoy yourself. Is that true?
Well, those who are able to qualify for the A corral, the first corral, A and B are really pretty good because they spread out pretty quickly. And I will say that over the last 3 years, the Disney organizers have added more corrals and have increased the time between so that the race is spread out. But the reality is that for those who are running 240-ish or slower, there are going to be some clumps on the course. And so you just really go for the good time if that is the time that you're shooting for or slower.
So you didn't have much time between the Disney Wine and Dine down in Orlando before you had to be out in Anaheim.
Yes, we got in and washed the clothes, and I promise we did wash the clothes, or I should say, honestly, Barb does that, and she does a fabulous job. And so anyway, we repacked, and then the following day, we were on to Disneyland. And what a nice experience Disneyland is. This was a new course, not totally new, but a lot of it was new. And it ended up getting rave reviews from people. It did go through Anaheim Stadium like the old course did, but it makes a big loop around the stadium at first before you come in. And once you go through the stadium, it's just a straight shot back to the finish line. And people were in great spirits. It was really good weather. It was a little bit warm towards the end, but really a wonderful day in Anaheim, California.
Very nice. Well, let's catch up a little bit on where you're going to be in case some listeners are going to be anywhere where you are going to be, particularly one special place. But I know coming up you're heading to Pittsburgh, not for a race, but to help kick off some training in Pittsburgh. What's going on in Pittsburgh?
The Pittsburgh Marathon is just an outstandingly run marathon, and they have engaged the community groups in a really amazing way for a big city. I mean, all of the governmental units and the major businesses support the various events that are put on that weekend in May in Pittsburgh. And we have joined forces, Pittsburgh Marathon Organization and Galloway Training, to put on training for those events, particularly the half and the full. And I'm coming in about 6 months early to get people up and running, literally. I'm going to give several pep talks and a few a running school and a few free clinics. So you can just go to jeffgalloway.com and find the info there. I'd love to see you. Bring your questions. And if your motivation has hit a lull, I'll do my best to get it back up again.
So I've only been to Pittsburgh a couple of times, and most recently a couple of years ago for a visit, but I was a little surprised at how hilly that place is. What's the course like in Pittsburgh, Jeff?
The half marathon course is not super hilly. It has some hills towards the end. They aren't really steep, but one of them is a little bit longish, but the marathon course actually has more hills on it, and the deal is that if you stay right in the downtown district, which most of the course does in both half and full, then you really don't get into a lot of hills. But once you get away from that downtown district, Pittsburgh's hilly. I mean, it has some pretty big hills. Now, the race course does not go on the biggest hills. It doesn't even come close to them. But, hey, truth in advice, and the truth is that you're going to have to do some hills when you run in Pittsburgh.
The good news is it's a beautiful, beautiful city, so you're gonna get your money's worth out of that one.
Lots of bridges. People look forward to going to the next bridge because you get these nice views.
Yeah, Jeff will be on November the 19th at 9 o'clock is his running school there in Pittsburgh. Still some room there, so head down to jeffgalloway.com to learn more. And it's also on the Pittsburgh Marathon website, some additional information, and they kind of send you to Jeff's website as well. So,
and recently, Kevin, I have received more questions than ever before on what is the running school. And let me just say that it is a three-hour session, and It is so energized. I go through each subject one after another: nutrition, fat burning, motivation, endurance, how to get faster, how to avoid injuries, how to run smoother, best running form, and so forth. And the group is small enough so that everybody can ask any individual question. And then I give everyone my direct email address so that they can continue to clarify and individualize as they go through their training.
I know you've done it in the past for the 13.1. Are you doing a running school at the Jeff Galloway 13.1 this year?
Yes, we are. I have not seen the schedule yet, but we plan to do that.
Good, good.
I'm also planning to do a clinic that gets into a bit of my history, stories about Prefontaine and Frank Shorter and Bill Rogers and Ambi, and just a lot of rich history.
Very good, very good. Okay, so after Pittsburgh, in very, very early December, you're heading to the Cayman Islands. What's going on there?
This is a new event for us, for Barb and I, but we were invited to go down to the islands and run a marathon down there. Now, one of my roles is to explain the effects of heat and then what you can do to avoid heat problems. December is one of their coolest months, but it's likely in the second half that there will be some heat and humidity. But if you adjust your run, walk, run, then and pour water over the top of your head regularly, then you can really protect yourself from any problems. But it's a beautiful area, just an absolutely beautiful area, and we're looking forward to getting a little relaxation time down on the beach. The people who put it on really want to promote health, fitness, and a healthy vacation. So I salute them.
Nice, nice. Sounds like a destination race to me.
Yes.
Jeff's going to be doing a running school down there the day before on December the 3rd. So I'll put a link in the show notes to the website and where you can get some information on that running school as well. So call your travel agent. In fact, the website even has a travel agent that's got you all covered. So, all right, very good. That's the InterTrust Cayman Island Marathon. I know we've got a special event in December down in Atlanta, but before we talk about that, I know that you're also going to be traveling to St. Louis as well as Lawrence. Can you tell us what's going on in those two cities?
Yes, 16th and 17th, I will be in St. Louis. We have a new Galloway program kicking off, and we have had an amazing amount of interest in conducting a running school. And so I am really looking forward to meeting with the folks there in the St. Louis area and relating areas there. And then the next day on Sunday the 18th, I will be in Lawrence. Jay Jenkins is our Galloway Training Program Director in Lawrence and has built that program into one of the fastest growing in the country. It's just such a good feeling of togetherness that he has fostered. And Lawrence is a really neat town, too. It's very vibrant, has a great downtown area, and that's where I usually stay. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, good. If you guys are in the area, the 16th, 17th, and 18th, check it out. So I know we do have something very special going on the weekend of December the 9th, 10th, and 11th, the Jeff Galloway 13.1 weekend. And if it's all right with you, Jeff, I'd like to handle that one kind of on its own. Let's save that one, that topic, to the last so we can do that one justice.
I agree, Kevin. And one other quick comment about the running schools. A lot of folks are expressing anxieties about how to keep things going during the holiday season, which is coming up. And I will be addressing a lot of those issues during the running school. So if you want motivation as well as some tips to keep going, I will have them in those running schools.
And you'll guarantee nobody will gain weight over the holiday. I heard you're going to do that
too. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, so you know what? Let's jump into some of the guts of this episode, the run, walk, run topics, if you don't mind. And so now, at this point, we've all picked a race. We're well into our training, whether we've picked a marathon, half marathon, 10K, 5K, whatever it is. And maybe we're even getting rather close to what some people dread, that dreaded taper. But I want to save that one for the next episode as well. So I'd like to ask, as we move along and we're hitting toward the, let's say, the last third or quarter of our training schedules here, during the half marathon training program, to be specific, how often should we be doing another magic mile? And then just to see where we stand and what would we do? How would we run the magic mile? Say it's going to be our last toward the end of this, and then use that data. What would we do with it?
Well, you know, Kevin, you've done a great job in pulling the information about the magic mile out. But the bottom line is, for best results, you need to do those regularly, and it's approximately every 2 to 3 weeks throughout the season. In that way, you start out with a magic mile that really is not super fast. You're not trying to run even close to all out, but on each successive one, you try to improve. The last one, then, is not exactly the final exam, but because you can use any of your times, whichever time is the fastest. You can use any of those magic mile times as your predictor for the race itself. But it is a good predictor. It's based on more than 65,000 people who have reported in their results, and we've crunched the numbers on it. And so the bottom line is, going back to your question, approximately 2 weeks or 3 weeks prior to the race is a great time to do the last magic mile. And when you do it, don't go all out right at first. A lot of people get really anxious and excited or have all these apprehensions, and they just let themselves go too fast. And as a result, they slow down at the end and don't run as fast as they really could per mile for that mile. So anyway, get out there, go very relaxed. And the way that you can strategize this is look back in your history of magic miles and see what your fastest time is. Divide it by four. And then if you're on a track, you want to hit the first one about a second slower than your fastest one so far. And from that point on, you want to bring the pace down about a second on each lap. And that will ensure that you're going to run a faster time on that last one.
Anything to stress about if our last magic mile isn't what we'd like to see?
There's no stress at all, because you can use any one of the other magic miles. They're all backups there. But, you know, when people have a history of test anxiety, they may feel anxious in doing the magic mile. Don't worry about it. You know, you're not going to depend. I mean, your career, your life is not going to depend on this thing. It's just a good predictor. That's all it is.
Those are great words. Those are great words. Try to live by those, folks. So now with our long run stretching out, even running longer than our race distance itself, how can we make sure that we stay injury-free during the whole training schedule, Jeff?
There is a slight tendency to get injured during the last 2 to 3 weeks because you're in such great shape. If you've done all the training, you can easily run too fast and not know that you are running too fast, especially in places like running down hills or running with a fast friend or whatever. So restrain your enthusiasm. Stick to the schedule. And this all goes back to whether you're going to let the monkey brain be in control or your human brain. The human brain is the focus brain. And if you are focused on each workout, and then go through the particulars of each workout, you're in control over your emotions, and you won't have a tendency to go too fast or do something that is monkey brain-like.
Don't get carried away.
Yes.
Especially with the weather these days. So you're coming out of those hot, hot summer months and suddenly sometimes you feel with this weather you could just go on forever as fast as you want.
Oh, yes. I have an e-coach client who, classic case, the weather turned cool, so he just felt so good that he ended up running PR paces on practically every workout for 2 weeks in a row, and now he's feeling in the dumps as his lingering fatigue has caught up with him. So, you know, again, stay focused, restrain your enthusiasm. You can have one day a week in which you run faster, but not every day.
Perfect. So while we're on that topic of the long runs and the long training distances, what's your advice and thoughts on the nutrition? Kind of specifically for the nutrition while you're out on that long run, as well as the nutrition right after we finish one of our long runs.
Well, almost everybody who's listening to this, even if they have a goal that's coming up soon, will continue to do other races and continue to do long runs. The long runs are not only a great training ground physically, but they also can allow you to gather data on nutrition. And what I suggest is journaling what you eat the day before, the morning of, and during each long run. And then as you go through the season, you're going to edit out things that just didn't quite work so well and add things that do work well, and you'll come up with a plan. And I'm talking again about a cognitive plan so that you have your list of things and you have the timing that has worked for you in the past. So if you stay focused in your human brain, you will follow that plan when you get up to your race, and then you'll know what to do. In general, though, the rule before long runs and the race itself is normally an average breakfast or lunch. Don't go overboard, but eat about what you normally do if it doesn't cause problems. And then, again, the day before, during the afternoon, you start tapering down on total volume, and then you avoid foods that could cause problems, usually fatty foods like fried foods. Foods that have a lot of roughage in them, and then any other foods that individually cause you problems. And as a result, you can edit out those things. The day before, the general recommendation on fluid is 8 8-ounce glasses just spread throughout the day. Then the morning of, the normal rule is to drink about 6 to 8 ounces of water as soon as you wake up, or a cup of coffee if you're like me and love to have your coffee. And then fine-tune your eating. Most people that I've worked with have not needed to eat anything for breakfast. And dry toast is very simple and very unlikely to cause problems. But, you know, if you like to have something for breakfast, then test it out and just go before the race with things that you know are going to digest easily.
What about water during the race, or something else during the race, drinking?
Yeah, this is something that most people still have at least one long run in their season by now. And so the rule, test out, you know, what's going to work. But the simplest seem to be the best. And I'm talking about 2 to 4 ounces of water every 2 miles and 30 to 40 calories of sugar every 2 miles. And the simpler forms of sugar digest more quickly and cause fewer problems. I'm talking about sugar cubes, lifesavers, and things like gummy bears.
What do you eat / drink right after one of your long runs?
I have true confessions here. I have gone back to what I used to use in my world class days, not to become world class again, but to reload because it really worked well for me. And what it is D-Fizz Coca-Cola. I even drink D-Fizz Coca-Cola during my long runs and my marathons now, because not only does it have sugar and water, which go right up to the brain and keep the brain loaded up with its fuel, but it also has caffeine, and oh, that's a good combination. But I will say that for reloading purposes, I go to a product called Endurox R4, E-N-D-U-R-O-X R4, because the research is quite good on it in reloading the muscle glycogen, and I found that that reduces hunger.
Very good. Thank you very much on that. Let me switch gears just a tiny bit, because I think on some level, I think many of us runners are geeks at heart. And although all we really need is a good pair of running shoes to head out the door, we've got an amazing number of running gadgets that have cropped up over the years. There's GPS watches, smartphone apps, heart rate monitors, iPods, fancy earbuds, the whole nine yards. Where do you come down on fancy running gadgets? So there's some that you particularly think are very, very important for runners?
Well, you know, now we're getting into thinking about holiday gifts that keep on giving. True. Because some of these are not expensive and some are. But so how do you differentiate ones that work versus those that do not? I will say that the things that don't cost that much and yet are most helpful, an app, Lolo Fit does the apps that that I have recorded. And if you buy the Lolo Fit apps, 5K, 10K, half, and or marathon, then be prepared to listen to my voice. You'll hear a lot of it because I coach you through every single workout. But those are relatively inexpensive. Our timer, our Jeff Galloway timer, beeps and vibrates. It's only $20, and it's available from our website. But other items that work, the stick and the foam roller, those are things that we have sold since they first came out because they help move junk out of an area that has been damaged by long workouts, speed workouts, things like that. And there's always some damage that occurs. And if you move the junk out, it can repair. The area can repair itself. It's programmed to repair. And then more recently, in the last 2 years, we have discovered this BFF massage tool that is simply incredible. Now, it's more on the expensive side. It's normally around $300. We may be able to get a special listener discount, though, Kevin.
Nice.
And you and I can talk about that, and you can put it up on the site. Nice. But the bottom line is this is a vibrating massage tool, and it's incredible. We have had booths next to the BFF people at the last two Disney races just this weekend and last weekend. And just a whole stream of people coming in there and getting that massage on their muscle, and they walk away, and it's the muscles are invigorated. If you've got aches or pains, they may not go away, but it brings blood flow in, and over time, the soreness is not as bad, or it does go away, and or in a much shorter period of time, a lot of long-term injuries have healed up based on the reports that I get. It's really an amazing tool. So anyway, and nice. You can read more about it on our website, jeffgalloway.com. But that is a tool that keeps on giving.
Very good. So in the last episode, we discussed rather briefly the common running injury of plantar fasciitis. So in this episode, I'd like to pick up on another rather common running injury and get your take on the iliotibial band injury or IT band syndrome. What is it? What causes it? How can we prevent it or treat it?
Well, Kevin, you have picked the top two right now. Those are the ones that I'm told by podiatrists and orthopedists are the most frequent injuries that runners have these days. IT band is a band of fascia that is interconnected and acts like a tendon. It stretches from just below the knee up to just above the hip. So it's quite a long area there, and you can get that irritated at any point in that. But in most cases, most people experience IT band issues on the outside of the knee. It usually is a result of overuse, in which people find that they simply cannot stay on the straight and narrow as they go through their long runs or races. They start wobbling. And as a result of wobbling around, they irritate that IT band that's not designed to be able to hold back all of the pressure of the body wobbling from side to side. So the fix on that is to prevent it first, and that is to shorten stride, keep feet low to the ground, have more frequent walk breaks right from the beginning so you don't get into that fatigue stress area. Now, the treatment of the IT band is that rolling it, as in the foam roller, has been effective in moving the junk out. And then the VFF has been an amazing massage. That vibrating massage brings blood flow in. There's not much blood flow in the IT band area normally, and so you want to increase that any way you can, and the BFF massage tool is the very best one I have found to do it. And I've already heard from about a dozen runners that had fairly long-term IT band injuries of a year and a half or longer. In one case, it was going on 4 years. Ouch. And within 6 months of regular use of the BFF, and that person who had it going on 4 years also used the foam roller, those two things in tandem, in 6 months, it was gone. In most cases, IT band injury is going to require you to lay off maybe a week or two. In most of the cases I've worked with, that's the, all that you need to lay off. That's all my people have been needed to lay off from running. And then after that, it's a case of staying below the threshold of further irritation. That means that you increase the frequency of the walk break, you slow down the pace from the beginning of all of your runs, and if there's any irritation that comes on, you just walk the rest of your workout.
Perfect. Thank you very much. You got time for a couple of questions from some
listeners? Yes, sure do.
I'm going to start with our buddy Bob from Lexington. He's been running for a while with Run, Walk, Run, but he got involved back in the day when your intervals were a little bit longer, and so he started to use the shorter intervals thanks to some advice from Suzanne, our other girlfriend there in Lexington, and he's had some amazing results. So he'd like you to discuss the ratios and maybe or maybe not adjusting those during a race, you know, like maybe kicking off a race at a, you know, 30-30 and then maybe finishing the last few without any intervals or what. How do you gauge how to adjust intervals during a race?
Well, you can see on our website, jeffgalloway.com, the current strategies that we recommend based on the pace per mile. And we've gone over those many times, so I won't go over them right now. But I will say that over the last 12 years, I have studied the recovery amount of a walk break that does the most good. And I've come to the conclusion, based on a lot of data, that almost all of the recovery occurs during the first 30 seconds of a walk break. And if you walk longer than that, you actually start slowing down. So shortening the walk break is the first thing that we did. But we also then cut in half when folks were running, walking a minute, and we cut it to 30, we cut in half the running amount. And we found that there was an additional speed up in time because the shorter running segments don't put as much fatigue on the legs by the end of the race. Now, getting to the question for that Bob had, if you start out at a more conservative strategy, then you are in a position to make a choice later on to run more and walk less. And the way this would go would be done in a half marathon. You might start out with, say, a 30-30, 20-20, or 15-15. And those are great strategies because of having equal amounts, it would allow you later on, when you're feeling good, to run two of those and walk one without changing the timer. And then at the end, you could run on in, or you could just run three or four of the intervals and walk one of them.
Very good. I can specifically remember years ago when you were e-coaching me, and I had, I won't go into the excruciating details, but I had DNF'd in Chicago. So I came back 5-6 weeks later in Indianapolis and tried it again. And I can remember we had that discussion, and you said the exact same thing. Depending on how you feel, and as you get close to the end, you might even feel good enough to wipe out the walk breaks altogether. And I can and I think I know where Bob's coming from, because I can remember a little bit being a little scared reaching the, say, 21, 22, thinking I don't want to kick, you know, stop the walk breaks just yet, because what if I can't finish this one? So there's that little, you know, that little point during a race where you got to tell yourself, okay, from here on in, I can do this.
Absolutely, and there will be some apprehension until you do it, but let's face it, at that point, you're getting close to the finish. Hallelujah.
You got that right. I got a question from Linda. She says she's asked everybody, and it just seems to be a mystery, and I don't think it's going to be a mystery to you, because it's not really a mystery to me anymore after you and I have had so much talk about this. She's hoping you can explain it. But anyway, she ran a half marathon in June at 2 hours and 10 minutes using a traditional training. In other words, she was saying no run walk. Just this morning as a test, she went out after 4 months of run walk run Galloway training. She did a half marathon distance and she used a 4:01. And she ran within 2 minutes of the exact same time, and she's just amazed. So she wants you to explain to her how in the heck she can be as fast walking 26 minutes of walking in that whole distance.
Well, and the surprising thing is that when we have had, and I've personally counseled several hundred people in the last 3 years, who made the jump from what she did, 4 minutes run and 1 minute walk, down to our new strategy for that pace, which is 2 minutes run and 30 seconds walk. And there's been an average of a 4 minute improvement in time. But that aside, the reasons behind it are, first of all, by taking those walk breaks from the beginning, you erase fatigue for the first few miles and up to the first half of your run. This is huge, because when you get to that halfway point, you don't have that fatigue on your legs. So you are able to either pick up the pace or feel really good as you proceed through the rest of the race. And then at the end, you have an option of picking up the pace or just holding where you are and enjoying the heck out of it. In the case of why people speed up and the average speed up when nonstop runners find the right run, walk, run is an average of more than 7 minutes faster on a half marathon. And that almost always comes at the end. Instead, when a person runs nonstop, they tend to slow down during the last 3 to 5 miles of the race. But run, walk, runners tend to either stay the same or speed up. And you're working with 7 minutes here. I talked to at least a dozen people just during the last 2 weeks at the Disney races that improved more than 30 minutes when they went from nonstop running into the right run, walk, run. So there's a lot of improvement ahead.
So, Linda, the good news is that Jeff has not only taken the mystery out of this whole thing for you, he's giving you some personal training advice. And right now, you should go from a 4-1 to a 2-minute run and a 30-second walk. True, Jeff?
Absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely.
Do it, Linda, and get back to us, will you? Let us know how that goes for you. All right. Thanks for that, Jeff. Let's jump to our last topic of the day, which might be the most important for me for this episode anyway, and that is the weekend of December 9, 10, and 11 in Atlanta, Georgia, the Jeff Galloway 13.1. I'd like to just very, very briefly go through a small agenda. It's all on your website, and I'm going to link to that. It's at jeffgalloway131.com, all this, the detail. But I'd like to touch upon a couple of things that are happening. First of all, on Friday is the expo. The expo opens up on Friday. But you've moved the expo this year, true?
Yes, it's just next door to where we were before. It is inside the Westin Hotel, and we simply like the configuration of the ballroom there at the Westin.
So you've got the expo on Friday night. This is an entire weekend of events, and I would recommend you take advantage of every single one of them. But on Saturday, you've got the expo opening up. I believe the expo opens up at 10 o'clock, and it goes through 4 o'clock on that day. But Friday morning at 8 o'clock, inside Piedmont Park, is Barb's 5K. That's a pretty special race for you, isn't it?
Oh, I tell you, as soon as I started talking about doing the Jeff Galloway 13.1, Barb said, "Can I have my race?" And her mission is to provide a non-intimidating, fun run walk for anyone. And it has expanded rapidly. This year we're going to have three times as many or four times as many as we had the first year. It's just growing, and it's wonderful. It's all in Piedmont Park. Our beautiful park, and it's run just as the sun is coming up and the mist is around and the dew is on the grass. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place to run.
For those of you who have not been to Atlanta and not had the pleasure of visiting Piedmont Park, you should think maybe a smaller scale, but you should think kind of Central Parkish from New York City. Would you compare it that way, Jeff?
Well, in the risk of offending some New Yorkers, I will say I've run in Central Park a number of times, and I love running in Central Park, and it's a great place to run. But I will say that Piedmont Park tends to be a bit cleaner than Central Park.
Good place to visit. So that's at 8 o'clock on that Saturday. At 9 o'clock, there's a free Fit Kids Run Walk. I say free. You are required to register, but that's an easy click of a few buttons. So you're having a fun run for the kids that morning.
Absolutely. Parents come down and bring their kids. With the little kids, we allow parents to run with them. And in the slightly older age groups, they will run by themselves on a self-contained loop there that we have. But it is it's a kick. I mean, these kids they're having fun. They're uninhibited. It's just really a neat event. And you leave there with lots of smiles on lots of faces.
So every other kid event that I've been to, a fun event for kids, has always been just one race. You jump in, it's, I'm making this up, half a mile or a quarter mile or whatever for these. But you're doing it different. You're adding, depending on the child's age and his health level, I guess, or how in shape they are, anywhere from 100 yards, a quarter of a mile, half a mile, up to a mile. So depending on your age, child, bring them down and get into whatever event they want to.
Absolutely. And you'll see a lot of kids who get their start in races like this. And one of the big advantages is we give medals to every child that finishes.
That's huge to these kids. That's very good. Once again, that is free, but they're asking that you register at the website, jeffgalloway131.com. So head on over there. The expo on Saturday, like I said, runs from 10 a.m. in the morning until 4 p.m. And then Sunday morning at 8 o'clock is the Jeff Galloway 13.1. Are you ready for this, Jeff?
Oh, I'm just so fired up about this, because this weekend is just an upbeat weekend all the way through. I hear from people everywhere I go who have attended and say that they cannot wait to come back because they just feel good all weekend. Everybody's on the same page and supporting one another and understands the method. And there are a number of folks who just come out to run a half marathon, and because of our run, walk, run pace groups, they get hooked on run, walk, run.
Very good. For those of you who are into it, we just mentioned the 13.1 and then the Barb's 5K the day before. There's an option this year to run the Double G. What is that all about?
Oh, yeah, that's new. The Double G is if you can register for a third medal, and if you run Barb's 5K and then Jeff's 13.1, then you can win this third medal, and it's a really neat medal. It's really a different design. So, you know, take a look at it when we flash it up there. But those who have registered are going to be very, very happy with that medal. And there, as of yesterday, there still were some incentive items. The beautiful vest for the Double G.
Yep, a Double G vest for the first 400 folks to enter. And as I understand, there are still some of those incentives, like you said. So get over to the website and make sure you enter in that one.
But do it soon.
Do it very soon. That's right. We're coming up on it. And for some reason, if you can't get to Atlanta and visit this beautiful city and that beautiful park and run any or all of these amazing events, you still got the virtual.
The medals are really, really nice. And I tell you, we've had several people from other countries who have entered the virtual because they were so enticed by the medal, and they have told us how great that medal is and symbolic of a number of things. Our 13.1 medal has a wreath around the outside that symbolizes the wreath that was given to the original Olympians as the symbol of excellence, and it still is. We believe that everybody should be treated with respect and appreciation for finishing such a great event.
So enter the virtual if you're not able to get there. You're going to get that amazing medal that Jeff just spoke about. You're going to get a T-shirt, and you have got until December 31st, 2016 at 12:59 p.m. to run that distance and send some proof, a photo, anything from your picture from Lolo Fit, from Runkeeper, Nike Run, whatever you've got, your Garmin, whatever, and that's all you got to do. You got till the end of the year to do that.
And any 13.1 run this year, this whole year, will qualify. A couple of other things. We have a historic course. It goes by the Margaret Mitchell House, the Jimmy Carter Library, the Martin Luther King Center, and a lot of our historic landmark and historic areas. And I will be at the finish. We have free photos. If you would like to have me present your medal, we have a photographer there, and the photos are free. So I congratulate everybody that comes, and if they want to get a picture, I will stay there as long as is necessary.
That's pretty amazing in and of itself. One thing you will not get is an email with a tiny, tiny little picture of you and Jeff with that, you know, that goofy proof thing across the front of it. You'll get the full JPEG and do with it what you want. Very good. Gorgeous background of the downtown Atlanta in your pictures, too.
Absolutely.
Jeff, I think that's all for today. We've got another episode on the books before the big day where we'll talk a little bit about tapering. And also, even though we'll publish a podcast very shortly before the race, I got a feeling you're going to have some advice for folks that they can still use that close up until race day.
Well, absolutely. We will have a number of things, not only as sort of a checklist of here's what to do, here's not what to do, but there'll be a few things we hadn't covered yet.
Perfect. That's all I have for today, Jeff. I want to thank you for your time, and looking forward to seeing you very shortly.
Same here, Kevin. I always enjoy working with you and look forward to seeing you in my hometown.
Safe travels between now and then, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care.
Well, there you go. Episode 3.7 of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. Hope you got something out of that, something you could use in the near future for your race, or if you're doing some traveling, it might be somewhere in the area with Mr. Galloway. You know, as we're coming to the finish of this latest flavor of the Extra Mile Jeff Galloway edition, I always have some mixed feelings when these things end. It always gets me thinking about the next big idea or the next big phase of this podcast. So I've already started thinking about that and kicking around some ideas with Mr. Galloway as we move forward. One of the topics we hit during this episode with Jeff was that of nutrition. And I think it's quite clear from Jeff's conversation that he is he's a minimalist. He's very simple when it comes to nutrition. You know, why go out and buy some expensive running food, goo, drink, or whatever when water does the trick, or a gummy bear, right? I tend to be on the simple side as well, but I wasn't always like that, and I know a lot of you aren't either. Many of you are way more, I guess scientific is the way, or detailed about your nutrition. So I wanted to point out that some years back, probably about 5 or 6 years ago, as Jeff was e-coaching me, I got a hold of a representative from Hammer Nutrition. Hammer is at the leading edge of endurance athlete nutrition. And I actually used their products when I trained for my last marathon. And I like them. They seem to do a good job for me. I've honestly not run another marathon since, and so can't really compare the results. But I can tell you that in my previous life, before I was a run-walk runner, I did not use the nutritional supplements and products from Hammer Nutrition or any other company, mostly because none of them had actually been invented yet. This is going back into the late 80s, early 90s. So be that as it may, Hammer is a very, very popular nutritional product, and I have no doubt well-researched and does the job. So I reached out years ago, got a representative to come on the podcast, and had a pretty detailed discussion with him. The discussion lasted about 45 minutes, and I added it to one of the Jeff Galloway editions years ago. I'm not going to add that discussion to this podcast because, number one, not all of you care, maybe not even most of you care to listen to that. And secondly, it would make this podcast extremely long. But what I've done is I've gone back and found that episode, and I cut just that piece out. And I'm going to post it, and in today's show notes, I will link to that conversation with the Hammer Nutrition specialist that I got on the show that day. So if you're so inclined, and if that's something that floats your boat, head over to the show notes for today's episode at www.thegallowayextramile.com, and I'll put a link, and you're welcome to download and listen to that detailed nutritional discussion as well. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the Jeff Galloway 13.1 weekend for those of you who are planning on joining us down there. We're still hammering out the exact time details for some of this stuff. So keep your schedules open, but I will tell you, I plan on getting down there Friday afternoon. That is, I think, December the 9th. On Saturday morning, the 10th, I believe I'm going to volunteer over at the Barb 5K. So if you're running that, let me know. Or if you're in town and you'd like to help volunteer, let me know. And we'll go over there together. That should be a lot of fun. At the expo that day on Saturday, we're going to have a meetup. That's the part we're still ironing out. I expect it to be somewhere around 2 to 3 o'clock, something like that. I'll have those details ironed out before too long and can let you know. As well, sometime around the meetup, probably right after the meetup, we're going to do a live recording of the Extra Mile Podcast Jeff Galloway edition. How cool is that, huh? So hopefully you'll want to be part of that as well. More details to come on the exact timing of that, but that'll be at the expo just like the meetup. And then that evening at somewhere around 7 o'clock, we're going to all meet for dinner if you're into it. None of us are late night people, so you'll get back to your hotels in time to get a good night's sleep before the next morning. And then, obviously, the next morning, hopefully we can meet as many of us as possible at the starting line and run together. If you're into it, if you've got other plans, that's cool too. I, for one, plan on running rather slow, probably using a 60-30 ratio, something like that. And caring way more about having a good time than getting to the finish line quickly. So that's the plan for the weekend. What I need for you to do, if you're going to join us and would like to be included, is to send me an email as soon as possible and let me know what your plans are. Would you like to be included in the meetup on Saturday? Would you like to be included in the podcast? You plan on going to both of those? And what about dinner that night? We're going to have to put some reservations together rather quickly, so please send me your email. If by chance you can also share your cell numbers with me, that would be cool. I obviously won't give those to anyone else, but it would help if I was able to text information to a lot of you at the same time. So that's your homework for now. Get that to me as quickly as you can, what your plans are, and we'll go from there. In the next episode, which we certainly plan to get out before the big day, we'll talk about tapering a little bit and some last-minute race day preparations, right? So that's all I got. Get me the information right away, please. And between now and then, we've got Thanksgiving here in the United States. So if you happen to be listening from the United States, I certainly hope that you all have got as much to be thankful for as I do. Take care, and until next time, you'll enjoy your extra mile.
Joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway edition. Please visit our website at www.thegallowayextramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at thegallowayextramile@gmail.com. If you would like to send us your audio comments about the show or have questions about Run Walk Run, please send an audio file to thegallowayextramile@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast, Galloway Edition.